Welcome to the Clear Admit MBA Admissions Podcast. I'm Graham Richmond, and this is your wiretaps for Monday, February 22nd, 2021. I'm joined by Alex Brown from Cornwall, England. Alex, how are things this week?
Very good, thank you, Graham. As usual, bit sunshine though, no rain.
So I remember we spoke last week, you could not have your kind of beer on the beach at sunset, because it was like frigidly cold. So are things warming up? Is that what's happening now?
I'm hoping after we record this podcast that I'm heading down to the beach.
All right. Sounds good. So I think you know we have a really special guest this week. So I just want to kind of quickly roll through some housekeeping, and then we'll get to that because I'm very excited. But I did want to just mention that we're still in major interview season, right? I mean, it's like I feel like most schools have given out their invites and everyone's prepping like crazy because our interview archive is, you know, off the charts in terms of people using it. But is there anything that you wanted to make us aware of this week in terms of, you know, just updates or what people could be expecting?
Yeah, come on, Rod. Start releasing those interview invites. We're waiting on Sloan. I'm still not sure that we've heard exactly when Sloan's going to release those interview invites, but that's the last big school to roll out their big wave of invites. Several other schools are still trickling them out. We're getting a lot of conversation on Livewire in terms of Stern and Haas and other sort of usual suspects at this time, where there's quite a lot of uncertainty in terms of when those invites will go out. But the last big school, still not sure when, but we know it's before the end of February, so it'll be probably at some point this week, I would imagine.
Yeah, so you're referring to Rod Garcia, who's an admissions director over at MIT Sloan and a friend of yours. Have you actually convinced him to listen to this show, or you're just going out on a limb?
No. When we chat, we don't talk shop, that's for sure. He is a very old friend of mine, and we do catch up, but we definitely don't talk work.
Got it. So we'll stay tuned on those Sloan interviews. I think they are forthcoming. And as you said, before the end of the month, that's all we know so far. One other thing I wanted to mention is that people can still email us at info@clearadmit.com and just use the subject line wiretaps if you want to ask us any admissions related questions or frankly, any questions at all. We're happy to try to answer them. But without further ado, I want to move on to our special guest this week. This is actually, I think it might be only the second time in history that we've had a guest join us for Wiretaps, and I'm pretty excited, as you can probably tell. And Alex, the reason I thought you were going to get a kick out of this is I know you're a big fan of Reddit, and you're also an avid reader of the r/MBA subreddit. And so is Mike on our team. And for our listeners who don't know, you know, Reddit is sort of like the world's leading discussion forum site, and they have subreddits about kind of any topic that you could possibly think of, including MBA admissions. And, you know, the r/MBA subreddit is where candidates kind of can connect and chat and tackle any kind of admissions related stuff or just business school stuff in general. I believe it was launched about 9 years ago, and I've personally just enjoyed watching it grow over time. And I know that a lot of the Clear Admit community members use the site, and we're big fans of what the r/MBA subreddit is up to, because I kind of feel like we share in the same mission of like helping people who are applying to school. So without further ado, I am really excited to welcome one of the r/MBA community managers whose handle on the site is Highly Asian. So welcome, Highly Asian, to the program.
Yeah, well, glad to join you guys. Really excited to be here today.
Excellent. So Highly Asian is the handle you use on Reddit, but I can reveal that you are a current first-year MBA student at Cornell. And I just wondered if there's anything else you'd kind of be willing to share with our listeners before we get into some questions that I had for you.
Definitely. So like the name suggests, I am Asian, actually first generation Asian American, first in my family to go to college and first to get an MBA here. And, you know, I just finished up recruiting for internships. So really excited to kind of unwind and experience the rest of what an MBA has to offer now that the hard part's out of the way. And yeah, you know, really excited to answer any questions you guys might have about whether it's r/MBA or what it looks like to be first year in a COVID year.
Excellent. Yeah. So just so our listeners know, I did prepare a couple of questions for you, Haile Asian. I have a few things I'm dying to know about, you know, the kind of the role of moderator on a Reddit subreddit, but also just your experience in business school. And then Alex and I, if you're game, wanted you to weigh in on some of our wiretaps candidates this week. We just thought that'd be a lot of fun. So we've picked out a couple of candidates, as usual, to talk through. But before we do that, I just wanted to hear a little bit more about what is it like moderating a forum on, you know, or a subreddit, you know, and are there any like facts or figures or aspects of the forum that you wish to highlight? Aside from the fact that I noticed you have like 24,000 karma points on Reddit, which is sort of off the charts. So yeah, tell us a little bit about like your job as a Reddit moderator.
Yeah. Like you mentioned, I think you give a great introduction to like what Reddit and subreddit is. You know, there's literally interest for everyone, whether you like food or pets. In my case, you know, we really geek out over NBA stuff like the US news rankings or admission results. But it's a really fun experience, I'd say. Given how everyone comes to subreddit for different reasons, but we want to maintain an environment and provide a really good user experience for everyone who's there. And I'd say like there's probably two main challenges with being a moderator. You know, the first is probably maintaining the quality of the content that the users see. And the second is, you know, making sure that we have the right level of engagement with the community. So in regards to the quality of the content the user sees, I think a lot of times people don't realize what something's wrong until they see it. And it's our job to try to make sure like it never gets to that point. So for example, ads, spam, and repetitive content, you know, there's no shortage of people trying to advertise admissions consulting services or just random news articles relating to business that find our way onto the subreddit. And it's kind of our job to try to figure out, you know, how do we filter stuff that is irrelevant or not good for use or not what users want to see to make sure the experience is as good as possible for them. And, you know, like good MBAs, I think all the other moderators are MBA grads or MBA students like myself. We try to automate as much of the work as possible, whether it's, you know, having bots and AI to screen content. But a lot of times we do have to kind of just intervene and use human judgment if we have things that are like in the gray area where it might or might not be, you know, good content, and we have to use judgment. But that's relatively far and few between now that we've set up a lot of good automation.
Yeah, that makes sense. I know Alex on our team here, you know, Alex, you probably can speak to this, but we deal with some of this too on clearadmit.com where, you know, people are posting to the wires and leaving comments. And, you know, yeah, it's always that balancing act of like if an admissions consultant like jumps on the site and wants to provide advice, like to me that, yeah, there's this weird line where once they start, you know, putting links or trying to just get somebody to buy something or whatever, that's, yeah, it's tough to kind of balance with, you know, if they're just giving good advice, right? So I hear you on that. I don't know, Alex, is there anything you wanted to add on this or any questions you had about the sort of, you know, Reddit community and our MBA in particular?
Yeah, I mean, quite honestly, I'm just absolutely fascinated by Reddit. I will, full disclosure, I used to be active on Reddit. I won't claim to be active over the last several months. There was a time, actually, where I proposed that I become a moderator, but nobody else seemed to be that interested in my my moderation skills on the subreddit. But nevertheless, I'm absolutely fascinated. I think it's a really interesting community in terms of its, you know, its business model isn't for profit or whatever. So, but it's able to create what I imagine is a very vibrant community of candidates, sort of sharing ideas, swapping stories, providing feedback to each other. And my sense, and I'd be interested to get your feedback, is that actually this season the subreddit has picked up in terms of activity, or is it just that we're seeing more activity on our site as a result of conversations in your subreddit?
No, I think you're absolutely spot on the fact that it has been a lot busier than previously. Fun fact here, the subreddit has doubled in size over the past year since I first joined the moderation team. I think when I joined, it was about 40,000 subscribers. And if you check today, I think we broke 80,000. We might be closer to 90,000 at this point.
Wow.
And it really is just, you know, people are looking at B-School more now than ever, given, you know, the recent pandemic.
Do you think that's also a result of people having less access to visit programs? So we're more online, we're more talking to each other online, and therefore the subreddit becomes more important in that evaluation process?
Yeah, absolutely. I can talk from my experience back when I was an applicant. You know, I would go visit campuses, I would meet people, and the people I meet there would kind of form like a small support network where you'd still, you know, put together a WhatsApp group and talk to each other about, you know, how are you all doing? Where are you going in the application process? But, you know, this year with everything being virtual, I don't think people are having those kind of touch points and building those connections. So, you know, our MBA serves as a really good surrogate to kind of, you know, help fill that void.
Yeah. And we've seen a similar sort of reaction, I think, right, Graham?
Yeah. And that's a, yeah, obviously, activity's just been sort of off the charts for us as well. And I think, I just want to point out that, you know, since you became a moderator, Haile Asian, the community's doubled. So, I mean, you might point that out to your fellow moderators. You know, maybe it's due to the great work that you're doing, too.
I'd love to take credit, but yeah, it's a team effort for all of us.
I did want to pick up on something you mentioned, which was, you know, you took us back to the time that you were an applicant and how you were able to visit campuses and build kind of a network, kind of the old-fashioned way. And I wondered if, like, as you think back to when you were an applicant to business school, like, what do you recall as being the hardest part of the MBA admissions process? Like, what was the thing that stands out to you in hindsight?
Looking back now, I would definitely say that the hardest part when I was an applicant was writing the essays and not having people to bounce ideas off of. Because for me, I came from an industry and a company where MBAs were just uncommon. People didn't have experience applying to top programs, and I just didn't have a network to turn to. So, you know, writing essays in a vacuum for me was, I wasn't sure if I was going in the right direction. I wasn't sure if this is what they're looking for. So that was definitely the hardest part, because I was going it alone for the first half of the cycle up until I found, you know, our MBA having a really helpful community and I was being willing to be engaged in it.
Yeah, and that's, I cannot agree more that when you, I mean, there's some people applying to business school who they look to their right, they look to their left at work, and they're surrounded by, you know, either fellow applicants or people who already have an MBA. But then, like, for the lion's share of people applying, they don't necessarily fit that bill. And, you know, it's great to have resources like our MBA. I also, you know, like to think that Clear Admit provides some of that. I mean, we try to do these, like, essay topic analyses, because I agree the essays can be just the most sort of, I mean, no one likes taking, like, the GMAT or the GRE, but the essays are this, it's like an amorphous, like, thing that you have to do that's hard to pin down for candidates, especially those, you know, coming from kind of the outside. Is there anything that you wish you knew, like, before you'd started the process of applying to business school? Like, something, I mean, maybe you wish that you'd known about our MBA before you, you know, got going on your applications. But is there anything out there that you really wish you'd known before going through the process?
Yeah, I think, you know, in retrospect, the most important thing I would tell myself if I could travel back in time, and no butterfly effect happening, but it's just the importance and ease of networking, actually. I put off that component as much as I could because I was just dreading it. I felt like it'd be super awkward, super difficult. But now that, you know, I'm on the other side of the fence, I realize, like, how willing people are to talk to prospective applicants and, you know, how important it is, because these engagements really form a good foundation for a lot of the essays and answering a lot of the questions.
Yeah, that's great advice. I mean, it's something that we often talk about on Wiretaps, is, you know, the need for people to reach out to current students and make those connections. And it doesn't have to be about, you know, kind of those individuals on campus vouching for you to get you into the program, but they can provide you with lots of great details about what it's like in the program and give you a picture of, like, what you might do when you're on campus, which invariably will then come across in your application essays or interviews. So that's brilliant advice. I guess that's a good segue into the next question I had, which is, like, what are the resources that you recommend applicants make use of when they're applying? I'm assuming you're going to mention the subreddit, but are there, you know, what's on your list of things people should be doing?
Yeah, definitely have to give a plug out for the subreddit, you know, just because having a community, you know, whether it's our MBA or any other community, just making sure you're not going it alone, I think, is critically important, because, you know, really having people to talk to, whether about success or failures or worries, it just really helps make the stress much more manageable throughout the entire process. It's stressful enough. But besides having like a support network, I would say that I'm personally a huge fan of Applicant Lab. Like I mentioned, I didn't have a background where I could tap into people to learn a lot of things about the MBA process, but Applicant Lab really provided a lot of the insights I needed, but you know, didn't have the network for or wasn't really willing to shell out a lot of money for an admissions consultant just to teach me that kind of knowledge.
Yeah, that makes sense. And we like that site too. So I guess I would love to know how business school's going. And I mean, you know, you're a first year, you mentioned you've just kind of gotten past the recruiting phase for summer, which I agree is always like a great turning point. I found the second year of business school to be just such a night and day experience when I was at Wharton. I mean, just in terms of not only being able to take elective coursework, but kind of having a better idea of where you're heading and, you know, that sort of stuff. But I'd love to hear, like, what's it been like for you, you know, arriving at business school? You know, obviously maybe talk a bit about COVID, but yeah, just lay out the scene for us a little bit.
Yeah, so I would say entering business school in this year was very unique. Everyone, I think, came in with a sense of apprehension, but also, you know, optimism. You had to be a little optimistic, right, to decide to come do B school as opposed to deferring for a year. So I think there's a good sense of camaraderie when we first started out, just because everyone knew, like, we're in the same boat together. And that kind of extended all its way throughout recruiting process up until now. Obviously, with a lot of us having offers, we're becoming more social again. We can't do large events due to COVID, but we're really trying to host smaller events, small get-togethers as often as possible, just so we can mingle and, you know, expand out different social circles so you're not hanging out with the same people, because, you know, we all really are still trying to network and meet new people. Even though we've already finished a whole semester, it feels like I haven't met a lot of the program yet.
Yeah, that makes sense. I don't know if Alex, did you have any questions about, you know, how business school looks this year at Johnson, or just in general for Haile Asian here, and even maybe about recruiting? Is there anything you wanted to know before we kind of move on?
Yeah, I'd like to know what the internship is that you've landed. Where are you heading? Even if it's not you don't want to reveal the company, what sort of industry you're looking at?
Yeah, so I'm really excited to say that I'm able to join one of the big tech companies I had on the top of my list as a company I really wanted to intern at. I actually thought I would be going into consulting given my background, but you know, tech actually has been very, very willing to extend opportunities to interview, and I'm glad that I got the offer.
Awesome. Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I think that's probably reassuring for a lot of our listeners too, because I know that, you know, this has probably been a tough year in some respects to be in business school. As you point out, you know, you didn't get to meet everybody right away in person, or you're, you know, still kind of making those relationships happen. And so the fact that, you know, these companies are, you know, still actively seeking out MBA talent is a good sign. And from where I sit, I think it's only going to get better because obviously, you know, vaccine's rolling out. I feel like we're going to get a handle on this stuff. And it should be a good time to graduate when you graduate, actually, as the economies are kind of, you know, global economies kind of recovering and things. So congratulations on landing that. I don't know if you're willing. Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, just quick follow-up question. You're going off into tech. Is it community-based type tech? I.e., is your experience as a moderator on the subreddit help you in terms of getting access to this opportunity?
I would say that, you know, being a moderator didn't really have an impact for this position. It's not really community-based. Although I did interview for a few communication roles where this did come up. But I'd say ultimately, the subreddit did help because, you know, I was able to ask questions about the process, about being a career switcher, and that really gave me a lot more to reinforce, you know, right, my mentality going into it.
Nice.
In addition to having the resources on campus.
I wanted to ask you actually one other follow-on about this, because now you've kind of piqued my interest. So talk to me a little bit about Cornell and tech, because, you know, Alex and I know the tech MBA that Cornell unveiled a few years ago that's New York City based. But I have to feel that, like, the fact that they have that offering, you know, a sort of specialized program must impact the regular MBA program in a positive way. Like, have you had that sense? Or I don't know what the connections are between the two campuses or recruitment or anything, but do you feel that, you know, Cornell's becoming an increasingly tech-friendly MBA program?
Yeah, I would definitely say Cornell really is doubling down its effort to improve tech opportunities for its students. and graduates, just given, you know, we see tech being a larger percentage of outcomes year over year. And as far as recruiting goes, I would say that we aren't directly involved with the tech MBAs when it comes to internship recruiting. However, there is a lot of cross-pollination for knowledge as far as, you know, us applying to the same companies and sharing, you know, insights. So, for example, if we're applying to one company I remember is Duolingo, a tech MBA might have had an interview and they're more than willing to talk with first years here about, you know, what the interview process was like and sharing insights and best practices going into the interviews. So it really has helped just increasing the size of, you know, the applicants to these tech companies where we can all share knowledge and become better overall.
Excellent. Yeah, that makes sense. And I just have to think that's going to continue to be a strength for Cornell going forward. So I know I asked you this before. I just want to let our listeners know that we, you know, we've asked you to kind of stick around and weigh in on a couple of Wiretaps candidates this week. So we're going to move into that. But before we do, I did want to mention that we're doing an event on March 3rd at noon Eastern. It's a clear admit kind of webinar, and we've got Wharton, Berkeley, Yale, MIT, and Carnegie Mellon joining us. I guess it's the admissions directors from those programs joining us to talk about deferred enrollment programs. So for, you know, juniors and seniors in college who are thinking about getting into business school before they even graduate from college so that they can go off and work a couple of years and know they have a seat reserved in an MBA program. So we're going to talk all about that process on March 3rd. You can sign up on our website, and I recommend people do so sooner rather than later. And obviously, feel free to spread the word, tell any college students you know, because this is an ideal way for them to interact with admissions directors at top schools about deferred MBAs. So let's move on, though, without further ado, and talk about Wiretaps candidate number one. So this person, we got this entry from ApplyWire, and they are applying to 8 schools to start in the fall of 22. So they've got a little bit of time on their hands. They're looking at Columbia, Dartmouth, Duke, Harvard, MIT, NYU, UCLA, and Yale. And they indicate that they've had both entrepreneurial experience and land development construction experience before business school. They're hoping to pivot into consulting, and they gave us a long list of consulting firms, which includes many of the usual suspects. So, you know, Accenture, A.T. Kearney, Bain, Ernst & Young, McKinsey, PwC, and some others. Their GMAT score is a 700, or that's what they estimate they're going to get, because I believe they haven't officially taken the test yet. They have a 3.6 GPA, 3 years of work experience, and they are located in India. They also wanted to tell us that they have a master's degree, in which they earned a 3.6 as well, and that they started a social entrepreneurship firm that is now about 3 years old and is unrelated to the main job they have, which I guess is in land development and construction. So that's kind of the background, and I wanted to start with our guest. So Haile Asian, what do you make of this candidate, and any advice that you would have for them as they begin the process of looking at business school and getting ready to apply for next, you know, applying next fall, I guess, for the following fall?
Yeah, so looking at this candidate's profile, you know, I definitely think the major area we want to start with is the GMAT score. Like you said, they're not sure if they've taken it yet. This is an estimate, but 700 for an international candidate, especially from India, I believe, is on the low side, especially for the programs that they've listed. So, you know, maybe really putting in the effort to bring that GMAT up to at least a 720, higher if possible, given some of the schools are really competitive. And, you know, for a secondary aspect, I think, given that they listed the whole gamut of consulting companies, not just your typical MBB, if they're willing to go to companies, for example, like Deloitte, EY, they might not necessarily need to go to, for example, your M7 schools. Some schools further down the list as well, and up to T25, all recruit for these companies there. So adding a few safeties never hurt, especially since they don't know exactly how competitive it's going to be in a few years, right? Given that they want to intake in 2022.
Yeah, that's a good point. Alex Brown, what about you? Any input you have on this candidate?
Yeah, I mean, I'd completely agree on the first point. And I think the candidate recognized this also based on the conversation themselves. They're 700 GMAT. I mean, quite frankly, that's a great GMAT for us normal people. But if you're applying to a top school, 700 is below average. And if you're applying from India, you're likely part of an overrepresented population in the app pool, so it's going to put more pressure on the GMAT. So, you know, the idea of getting a 720 plus, 730, I think is appealing. I think a good GMAT score is also very useful for at some stage of the consulting recruiting process too. So that would be good. I do like the fact that they've done social entrepreneurship. It'd be very interesting to see what sort of impact they've had in that realm. So if it's really substantial and so on and so forth, that's going to play very well in their candidacy. I also think it's crucial for a candidate like this to hit the first round. Again, if they're part of the overrepresented profile, you know, round one is going to be super helpful to them. The final point, and I asked them this, is what is your long-term goal? And they said it was to stay in consulting. And I just wonder about that. And maybe I could bounce it back to our guest and see what they think. Because the majority of folks are going into consulting post-MBA for a 2 or 3 year period or whatever it might be. But it's a stepping stone to something else. And few sort of stay on in the sort of consulting, on the consulting leadership path. So, yeah, kind of curious how that would play out. So I'll turn it back to you guys.
Yeah, hi, Liaison. Do you have a point of view?
Yeah, I would agree that, you know, saying consulting is a long-term goal is a bit idealistic, and that might not be the best narrative you'd like to put into an application. Having engaged with a lot of alumni and practitioners throughout the recruiting process, you definitely see that it's pyramid-shaped in the sense that not everyone is going to make it to engagement manager, and certainly not to partner. The typical strategy is 2-3 years and exit. So long-term goal being consulting is definitely, I'm not sure if it shows that you're a bit naive or optimistic, but yeah, I don't think that is the strategy to go with when you're writing an application.
Yeah, no, very good. So I'm glad we agree on that. I think we agree on a lot of stuff, Graham.
I wanted to chime in with two quick points on this one. Number one, I thought, hi, Liaison, great point about the fact that this candidate has more than just McKinsey, Bain, BCG on the list means they may not need to go to M7. So I hadn't really thought through that. I was actually just happy to see that they had kind of a wide net that they were casting, because you so often see candidates of a similar demographic who just say they want to work at McKinsey, Bain, or BCG. So I thought that might play well with the admissions team to know that, okay, this person's not like hell-bent on just one of the top three firms. The thing for me, though, that stuck out most was it seems like they have a background that is, they mentioned land development, construction, and I just wanted to figure out, like, well, how does that fit with what they want to do in the future, if at all? So, for instance, if they had said they want to go to an MBA program that's like ACES in real estate management or real estate development or real estate finance, like, then that would almost be more interesting as far as a storyline goes, and it would allow me to then, as an admissions reader, say, wow, you know, there's some cool threads being woven here that make sense, you know, in the long term. So I just was wondering, I would kind of encourage this candidate to think about what is it about their work experience to date that may end up playing a role in the future. And it may not be in the short term if they just want to do consulting. That's fine. A lot of people do it. But maybe it's in the long term where some of these interests resurface and kind of come back to the fore. That would be ideal in my, you know, from where I sit. And I also agree with both of you that the GMAT's got to be a high, you know, ideally they score highly, at least at the average, if not above, for the target schools that they're considering. But yeah, I appreciate you both weighing in on this one. And thanks to that poster for sharing their profile. I want to move on. I've got one more candidate that we're going to get through this week. So this is Wiretap's candidate number 2. This is a DecisionWire entry, and the person is undecided. They were, originally they applied to Chicago, Dartmouth, Harvard, MIT, Stanford, and Wharton, and they did pretty well. They got admitted to Booth, they got accepted at Dartmouth with a $120,000 scholarship. They also got in at MIT, where they received a $50,000 scholarship, and they were accepted at Wharton with no dollars there. They're going to be starting school this fall, and they want to get into tech. And the companies they have on their list are Apple, Facebook, Google, and Microsoft. In case you're keeping score at home, this person had a 770 on the GMAT and a 3.75 GPA. It sounds like they're East Coast based, and they say, like many people, I'm having trouble deciding between MIT and Wharton. They mentioned they've extended their deposit deadline because of this, and they say they want to go into tech, and they come from a consulting background. They're a little worried that MIT may have so many engineers that it could be hard for them to compete for tech roles. So they're wondering, like, would that be the same thing at Wharton or not, and you know, so on and so forth. So I want to first ask Haile Asian, what do you make of this? And I mean, you know, they also, it sounds like they've already ruled out Chicago and Tuck, even though Tuck's given them 120K. They're kind of focused on MIT or Wharton. But what do you make of this scenario, and what advice would you give this person?
Yeah, so I would say that they're in a great position. No matter which decision they would take, I think there's tremendous upsides both ways. But I could definitely see their decision for ruling out, for example, Tuck, given how big tech is one of those industries where having a really tight network really doesn't help land your first post-MBA role, right? There's minimal networking involved in the process. So that's, unfortunately, that's something that makes a lot of sense to me. So when it comes to picking between Sloan and Wharton, I'll just share my insight based on what I've noticed when I was going through all the schools. It seems to me that Wharton places really well in certain places like Google and Facebook. However, Sloan has one unique aspect that they have a stronger alumni network at Apple. I don't know particularly why this is, but Wharton just doesn't have that many alumni in Apple, given its size relative to Sloan. So if you know they are really looking at long-term career prospects as far as placements and network goes, I think Sloan would edge out over Wharton. And you know, I think the scholarship amount absolutely doesn't hurt either, right? Having less debt coming out of the program also helps give you more options in terms of opportunities you want to take and not worrying about debt.
Well said. Alex, what do you think of this person's predicament? Or I guess we can't really call it a predicament because it's kind of a really great position to be in. But what do you make of their choices?
Yeah, definitely a first world problem weighing up between Wharton and Sloan and some of the other offers. It's a great insight that I've just learned anyway in terms of the network at Apple versus the other companies for the different schools. But that's the sort of research that a candidate like this absolutely must be doing themselves to really understand, you know, which of these two programs will provide them the greatest access to exactly what they want to do. There's no doubt both of these programs, Wharton and Sloan, will provide them access. It's just which one is potentially a little bit better and so on and so forth. I mean, we've had conversations on wiretaps recently weighing Wharton and Sloan with other candidates. It does seem to me that the basic sort of issue that candidates are facing, especially sort of going into tech, is that the Sloan ecosystem wrapped around tech might be a little bit tighter and more sort of formalized, whereas Wharton's a bit more sort of bigger and more breadth, and maybe on the entrepreneurial side you know, venture funding and so on and so forth, Wharton might then become more favorable. But it's a great problem to have. I do know a few of the folks have sort of erred on the side of Wharton in terms of finalizing their decision in this case. So maybe this candidate should balance the books a little bit, and maybe Sloan's a better opportunity for this person. But definitely do the legwork like our friend said, and make sure they absolutely know where the strength of the networks are.
Yeah, those are good points, Alex. And I think one of the things that jumped out at me was, you know, this comment about Apple, the network at Apple being stronger for MIT. I had to chuckle because I think if memory serves, the CEO of Google is a Wharton grad. And so maybe that's helping with the Google jobs for Wharton. I did want to go back to a point that the poster made, which was they're a consultant, right? That's their background. And it sounds like they're not a tech, you know, they're not an engineer or something. And they're wondering if, like, when they're in a class at MIT, which, you know, MIT does have a reputation for having its fair share of engineering types, does that put them at like a disadvantage when they're recruiting for tech jobs? And so, Haile Asian, can I ask you, like, did you have a point of view on that? Is that true, or does it depend on the type of job they're going for? Or is this just not, is it going to be the same thing at Wharton anyway? Like, what's your take on that?
So my thoughts on this is, you know, for companies that recruit on campus and limit to a specific pool of candidates, so on campus recruiting, right, then you might be concerned about competing against your peers, given you might have a different background or inferior background. But in the case of these big tech companies, there generally is little to no on-campus recruiting, and it's all a drop. So you're competing not against just your peers, but all MBAs overall. So I'm not sure why they would be so concerned about the fact that, you know, other Sloanies would be more engineering background based, given that they'd not just be competing with Sloanies, right? So I don't think that's a factor that they should take into consideration as much as they're thinking right now. In fact, it might be a strength to have a lot of engineers to learn from and prep with.
Yeah, that sounds like a fantastic point, quite honestly, Graham.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, that this is the kind of stuff that, you know, hopefully by people discussing, whether it's, you know, in our MBA or, you know, on the Clear Admit decision wire, like, these discussions need to happen so that people can make informed decisions. Because frankly, when you get to the top end M7 or, you know, top 15 or whatever, there's so many programs where you can't just look at a ranking to make your decision, and you can't go on here and say you got to have these conversations, and the fit might not be the same for every candidate based on, you know, goals or their personal background and preferences. So yeah, once again, I think, you know, great advice for both of you. And I feel like, you know, this person, again, great problem for them to have to be figuring this out. There was like a little part of me that was like, wow, they're going to walk away from 120K at Tuck. But I get that, you know, the Whartons and MITs of the world are, you know, just a one rung up, and you know, a lot of the tech placement and stuff, as Haile Asian points out, it's not really close-knit network-oriented in terms of, you know, getting a leg up or something. So in any event, good advice. So I just want to say a big thanks to Haile Asian. It was great to have you join in on the wiretaps portion of the podcast. And I know that as a current student and someone who's been through this process, you just have, you know, invaluable insights to offer, not to mention like everything you see day in and day out as a moderator in the RMBA subreddit. So thank you so much for weighing in and joining us this week.
Yeah, really happy to be here. And it's definitely a lot much more fun on the other side of the fence when you're not an applicant. But yeah, really happy to give back to the community however possible. I know having a lot of voices really helped me throughout my applicant process. So yeah, really happy to be here.
Excellent. And Alex, your advice was good too. I don't want you to feel left out here this week.
That's all right. That's all right. It's always good to have someone be better than me. I can learn a little bit. It's all very good.
Yeah, and we'll be back in 1 week's time with another episode of Wiretaps.
Best of luck, everyone. Stay safe this week. Thank you very much, Graham. Haile Asian, thank you ever so much. Take care.